Welcome to another Financial Crime Podcast, brought to you by Jade Third Eye, a Skipton Group company specialising in AML transaction monitoring and sanction screening. My name is Adrian Isaac. I'm a client manager for Jade. Thank you for listening. I hope you're sitting comfortably, as today we're going to be discussing the topic, build versus buy, in relation to AML software. And for this discussion, I'm joined by Jess Kath from Financial Services Compliance Consultancy, Thistle Initiatives. Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. I think it would be great if we could kick off with telling the listener a bit about who and what Thistle Initiatives is and what you do.
Absolutely, yes. So I'm the head of financial crime at Thistle Initiatives. We are a regulatory compliance consultancy. We deal with a huge range of firms, from payments to crypto, wealth management, credit lending, traditional banking. So we come across a lot of different financial crime challenges. And as part of this, I work with a lot of firms, for example, to build, transform financial crime frameworks, and looking at whether or not they should implement tools or try and build things in-house. So hopefully I can add a few things to the conversation.
Brilliant. Yep. Sounds like you're the right person to talk to. So without further ado, I'll jump into it. So one of the things I wanted to kick off with is I met recently with a client who had invested large amounts of time and resource into building an all singing, all dancing AML solution. They've now reached a point where this system is talking to over 70 different vendors and the whole thing is too costly and resource intensive to maintain. Drawing on your experience, what have been key learnings from clients who have built their own AML solution versus clients who have bought a solution?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we'll get into this in more detail throughout the conversation, but there are so many different key learnings across firms that have either built or they buy something separately. If they've built things internally, there are lots of different advantages to that, but there can be a hell of a lot of disadvantages as well. And it really depends on whether or not you've got the expertise in-house, whether or not you've got the time, whether or not you've got the resource. And then when you look at buying, again, there are lots of advantages here in terms of potentially there could be more functionality that your team wouldn't be able to build. But also there are some complications in terms of is that vendor going to be flexible enough for you or understand your challenges, or is it even going to be useful? Have you really explored what your requirements are? And are they a real partner to be able to deal with the financial crime challenges that you are facing? And there are also some cost considerations across both of them as well. But I mean, yeah, there's lots of different learnings that we can draw out in the conversation. It's a real challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually read a recent university study which quoted an ex-CIO from PwC, and the quote said, when evaluating whether to buy or build, it's critical to thoroughly understand total costs during the software life cycle, typically 7 or 8 years. This step is important because 70% of software costs occur after implementation. A rigorous life cycle analysis that realistically estimates ongoing maintenance by in-house developers often tips the balance in favour of buying.
Yeah, that's the bit that people don't think about when they build something, because they often think that this is the much cheaper solution. But that long-term support and continuous development of the tool, you might have to look at hiring someone, you know, full time just to deal with that development, depending on what tool you're implementing. So, and maybe a whole team. So it really depends.
Yeah, it may start off as a sensible solution, but it can soon outgrow itself. Yeah, and become unmanageable. How do you support a client in assessing whether they build or buy an AML solution?
Yeah, so I mean, clients come to us at different stages in their journey, and it really depends on, I mean, if we're looking to support a startup or if we're looking to support a much more mature firm with really big, clunky legacy systems, our approach is completely different depending on what their requirements are. So first, we basically take a step back and really do a bit of fact finding. So what are they wanting to achieve, and when is this feasibly going to be implemented by? What are their exact requirements? And then we start to work through it from there. I mean, most financial crime people that we speak to, they want the latest tools, they want the latest functionality, but sometimes they don't need it all. It might be an all singing, all dancing solution, but sometimes they don't need it depending on their actual product set and their actual risks. So we look at it from a kind of realistic approach and start to support clients by one, what are the actual requirements that you need? So look at having those internal conversations, looking to manage some of your internal stakeholders and having those open conversations to figure out what the actual requirements are. And then we look at setting up what is the governance to get this conversation up and running, because it's all good and well to have lots of stakeholders involved in the conversation, which you need to, but you need to have formal governance. So who is making the final sign off on the system? What is the steering committee that's really driving this change? And we'll make sure we set that up nice and early, because otherwise the process can run away. And then we start to design and manage the RFP process with vendors, because that initial engagement with a vendor is very complicated. And there's a lot of different vendors in the market. So you need to understand and work through what your kind of RFP assessment process of vendors might be versus having to look at whether or not you can build this in-house. So what methodology will you assess vendors on? What questions are you going to ask? And what questions are you going to ask of your internal development teams as well? So we set up that process. And then we go on to support them with the implementation and all of that kind of exciting stuff later on down the line. But the steps are get your requirements, get your governance set up, and then figure out how you're going to assess either external vendors or internal development.
So you just answered what was going to be my next question, what should be on the checklist for anyone starting this process. So I'll move on to the next question. Have there been any common pitfalls that clients who have built their own system have run into?
Yes, indeed. Definitely some pitfalls. So the main thing is falling into the trap of building something that's good for now, but not necessarily good for scaling and changing. I think a really good example of this is Coinbase. I think they did actually buy in a number of vendors as well, but they had a framework and tool sets and controls that simply did not keep pace with the scale of their growth. So they had huge transaction volumes and their transaction monitoring systems just could not keep pace with that, but also nor could their team size and those kind of things as well. So they're much wider questions. But quite often when I see firms building their own internal system, they look at the immediate term and then don't necessarily consider what the ongoing development might be. So I think when you are having those questions, really looking at where the business is going, how you're looking to change, what products are you looking to implement in 1-2 years' time? What are the strategic long-term goals? And those are the sorts of questions that you definitely need to ask at the start. And then a second one as well is, if you're building something, make sure that it definitely has the right functionality, because quite often I see firms building something that's loosely built around something they've already got in place and it's not quite right, and they're just trying to fix it to make it right without stepping back holistically and thinking, well, what do we actually need to answer this question? What are the risks that we need to deal with here? And actually building something that is a control to mitigate whatever you're trying, whatever risk you're looking at. So I think those are the key things. And as well, the final one is make sure you do have enough internal development time to actually make sure this tool grows and changes with the business. So back to my first point, making sure that it's more for the long term than the immediate term.
And that's the part that ends up being really expensive. You know, we've got an example of a client where their development team is spending 40% of their time maintaining the internal system. That's a huge cost to the business. And that could be spent on building features and so on for their actual product rather than internal stuff. So yeah, absolutely. It's a good point. What advantage do you feel were gained by clients who opted to buying a solution?
Mm-hmm. This is also a great one as well. And I think quite often I do suggest to clients that they do just look at buying something for a number of reasons. One, because it can be much quicker to develop and implement. sometimes your internal development team will tell you it'll be nice and quick, but actually when they start on the journey, they realize it's actually more complicated. When you're looking at buying a solution, the solution is formed for that specific task. So if you're buying a transaction monitoring tool, it's already designed quite often with the latest thinking, with the latest guidance, and with lots of input from lots of other firms into how this should work well. So it's quicker to develop, it's quicker to implement. You can just buy the solution. If it's through an API, the implementation should be nice and quick, depending on what stack you've currently got. But it can be much faster to develop and implement. And then back to this functionality point as well, because the vendor is building these types of tools all the time, and this is their strong suit, they have the right functionality for whatever you want to do quite often. And they might have the latest version of something. So they might have, you know, some sort of behavioral analytics that your internal development team can't build that would be really useful for you. Now, also, depending on your risk profile, you might not need anything so complicated. So you might want to challenge the vendor as well. But quite often the vendors have got really interesting and useful stuff that perhaps your internal development team just wouldn't be able to do. And then the third thing is, depending on which vendor you sort of look to go with, most vendors now are really open to more of a partnership model, and they are willing to grow and scale with your business. I mean, this is not always the case, particularly for smaller firms. But if you are a larger firm, then the vendor is quite often willing to develop things, sometimes bespoke for you, to make sure it really fits for your business. So some of those benefits of building things internally are kind of lost because the vendor is entering into a true partnership. But again, it depends on the circumstance as well.
Yeah, it's a really good point you make. You're not just buying software when you buy it from a vendor. You're actually buying a lot of knowledge and skills and experience that comes along with that. And that's all gone into not just the actual software, but actually the service that they provide. And internal teams won't, and internal teams wouldn't have had that exposure on such a broad basis. So yeah, definitely a great point you make there. Just to keep this conversation balanced, I suppose, what are the advantages of an in-house system versus buying an AML solution?
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side to that, right? So the vendor doesn't know your business as well as you do. So you might find that your internal development team, they know the business and the risks better than that. But again, this is more down to the question as to how well your financial crime team communicates their requirements and their risks to both an internal development team and a vendor. But also your internal development team knows the limitations of their own technical infrastructure better than a vendor. Through the initial conversations with a vendor, they are obviously keen to sell their tool, and they will tell you that it can implement with everything, but sometimes it can't, and there might be some limitations that aren't really considered, whereas your own teams internally will be building something that can work for their own infrastructure. But again, that's dependent on different vendors as well, because some can be very flexible, but some can be a little bit of a challenge if there's a more complex technical infrastructure internally. And then the second one as well, some vendor solutions might not actually be customizable enough. And we have seen this in quite a few examples, particularly with different transaction monitoring tools recently. A lot of firms are finding that some vendors just don't give them enough flexibility. So maybe to set different rule sets, to set thresholds, to set slightly more complicated patterns. Sometimes they can't do that with a vendor solution. But an internally built tool, they would be able to put in a request, let's build this, and hopefully your internal development team would be able to build whatever you're looking for, and they can be a little bit more flexible. But we have seen that quite often in the market at the moment, that vendors actually aren't customizable enough for some of the complexities of some of the current typologies that we're seeing. And then the final one is, again, going back to the cost point, sometimes an in-house system, the running costs can be a little bit cheaper. Again, depending on the tools, but sometimes it can be more expensive if you need to do a lot of internal development. So it's a real kind of cost benefit analysis that needs to take place as part of this decision as to whether or not to build or buy.
Yeah, it's a valid point for sure, and it's something we're seeing a lot of. We're aware of lack of customizability in other vendors' solutions. Thankfully, that's not the case with Jade. It's extremely customizable. And the other point is, in terms of technology and how the actual infrastructure is always being upgraded, a vendor is able to upgrade more easily than an in-house solution and keep up with the latest technology trends. Across your client base, have you noticed any trends either way, towards one way or the other?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously 5-10 years ago, large banks build things internally anyway, but most things were built internally. And that was just the simple question. Everything's built internally. And that's where we've got some of these very clunky, big systems that don't talk to others. The space is very different now, with lots of exciting tools that can all API into each other. So it's a very, very different space altogether. But one of the key things, the two key things actually, that clients are really coming to me with at the moment. One, it's actually considering their financial crime control framework holistically. So you have lots of different vendors that deal with part of the framework, but what they're really looking for is something that does everything, or at least has a really lovely orchestration layer to pull together the different tools that are doing different parts of the journey. So you might have one tool for ID and V, you might have another tool for different screening elements, different parts of your customer due diligence journey, you might have a fraud tool at that point as well. And then you've got ongoing monitoring tools, you've got transaction monitoring, you've got payment screening. There's loads of different tools that end up being part of this tech stack. So what a lot of firms are looking for is that orchestration layer. So they're either looking for a vendor to support this, or they're often looking to partner with different vendors and then build that orchestration layer internally. So those are some really interesting questions about where the vendor landscape is going and how to actually patch together a holistic framework and what that holistic tech stack looks like. And then the second trend is, because the vendor landscape is really competitive, I'm sure you know that a lot better than I do, there's a lot of vendors out there. So a lot of vendors are super keen to become a true partner. So really working with firms to actually engage with them on a long-term basis. And this can be one of the absolute biggest selling points, right, for vendors, because it makes sure that people keep renewing their contracts with them and stay with the same vendor. But to be able to facilitate that, vendors are having to do more building after somebody's bought their framework, but after they bought their tool. So it's kind of like a different question now. It's not a build or buy. It's kind of a buy and then work with the vendor to build. So it's a buy and then build question now. So yeah, those are some of the key themes and trends that are coming out of the space.
Very interesting. So as we wrap up, I just wonder if you've got any final thoughts or words of advice for anyone starting on this journey.
Good luck. It's a difficult journey to go down. I mean, I would always say this, obviously working for a consultancy, but honestly, seek external advice where you need to, because the RegTech landscape is very complicated. So speak to maybe other firms, get involved in industry forums, speak to vendors at events. And I'm always happy to chat to anyone with any sort of question on this. But really have good conversations in the market to try and understand what's going on when you're looking to solve this question. And then the second one is really have effective requirements gathering at that early stage. So bring in the right stakeholders internally, bring in your IT, bring in your development teams into the conversation sooner rather than later to really answer this question. But make sure you've structured the governance around those conversations. Otherwise, they can really get out of hand. And then just plan out your implementation process nice and clearly. So everyone's clear on expectations. when you're going to, when and who is going to make that decision. And then you can start to kind of work your way through on this journey.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time today, Jess. How can listeners get in touch with you?
I suppose the best way is to drop me a note on LinkedIn. I'm Jessica Kath, and you can also find us on Thistle Initiatives on our website.
Brilliant. And to find out more about Jade Third Eye's cloud-based transaction monitoring, watchlist screening and case management system, please visit jadethirdeye.com.